break.
Zebra fucking cats. Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a beautiful podcast family in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris Lehman, Merc 80, Malcolm Darrell, Toria Williams, Arian White, and John Wood. And before we get into tonight's topic, quickly, we want to tell you where you can find us at www.blackisonline.com. And should something we say tonight spark something in you, by all means, call us with a comment at the hotline, 323-455-4219. Tonight's topic is the Nigger Bitch Essence article. I'm sure there would be a better way to title that.
Nigger bitch.
No, I can't think of any way else to talk about it. We are referring to, I think this happened a couple of weeks ago, a young woman supposedly sent in a letter to the coach, the passionate living coach, Abiola Abrams, who is with Essence. And Abiola gives love, dating, and self-esteem advice on the CW's Bill Cunningham show and all over the web through her hit web series, Abiola TV. So there's a Just Ask Abiola column. The letter goes like this. Dear Abiola, my man keeps calling me a nigger bitch during sex, and I hate it. I have been married for a year and I am at my wit's end. My investment banker husband is from a white old money family, and I am a first generation Black American woman whose family is from the island of Jamaica. We met at a reunion for the Ivy League school we both attended, and he proposed in 6 months. We have the picture perfect fantasy life. He wines and dines me, and we travel and shop the globe. Unlike all of the Black men I dated in the past, my husband is generous, loyal, committed, and considerate. He courted me, and I never have to pay for anything. He said I could quit my job, and I did. He makes me feel like a woman. I am a little embarrassed to share our problem. The first time he let the N-word drop was during sex on our honeymoon. When I reacted negatively, he explained that a Black woman he dated in the past enjoyed being called racial slurs. Another time he joked that he had purchased my freedom. He also speculated about whether his family could have owned mine because I have good hair, quote unquote. Then he made jokes about my pubic hair. He called it my Negro bush and referred to himself as a nigger lover. He says I am being overly sensitive because he loves me to death and should get a Black pass for marrying me. I told him that I don't appreciate these comments, and he says that my friends and family probably use the N-word all the time. He also asked why Black people can use the word and he cannot. I don't use the word or believe in the nigger differentiation. Neither does my family. I am too embarrassed to tell anyone about this because I know they might say, that's what she gets for marrying a white man. Every time we try having sex again, the slurs fly. Our sex life is pretty much over right now because I pretend to be asleep every time my sexy, handsome man wants to be with me. I feel completely turned off. I love my husband deeply, so please don't tell me to leave him because that's not what I want to do. My husband was my first interracial relationship. Please tell me racial slurs aren't normal between interracial couples. I would like to figure this out before we have kids, but I can't afford to leave him and still maintain my lifestyle. How can I regain my sexual attraction for my husband? Signed, Black and Proud. Now, here's the question. Here's a question I have for everybody. How many of you actually believe this letter is true?
As in, you think that they use this as a... as a publicity stunt?
Absolutely. Not necessarily publicity stunt, but just to get attention.
How many of us believe it's not made up?
John Wood believes it's true.
Okay.
Yeah. Speak. I mean, why wouldn't it be true? It may be made up, but look, the weirdest things about people in general is what gets them off for the most part. If anything's going to be weird about a person, it's because they got some weird sexual fantasy, and that's what nobody wants to share with anybody. You know? So for me, like, yeah, it sounds believable. I mean, shoot. Pornography wouldn't be a $10 billion a year industry if people weren't into some weird stuff. So, you know.
That's a porn called nigger bitch.
I want to see the racist porn. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that genre exists.
Oh, yeah.
Racist.
All the men. Oh,
yeah. Excuse me. And how do
you... leave the plantation one and two?
And how do you brothers know that is the question.
For those that don't know, we have very long text message.
I've been told by other people, Tony.
Does this connect into also the porn that I was talking about in terms of where they remade
didn't know you
roots.
Were talking about porn. I didn't know you were talking about
he
porn.
He told us about the Roots porn.
Oh, yeah. No, they've been remaking Roots and what's another one that they were remaking? Like, they were basing on...
Don't say Do I Want Purple.
They've done Boys in the Hood. They've done, like, a couple of them. But I'm saying, like, Roots is one of them.
Right.
So, Abomination Dallas.
Wait, no. Going back to that letter.
Yeah, so, but to me, the bigger issue, well, I don't know, maybe I want to stay on the nasty topic, but the bigger thing to me is just, if you're the woman, what do you do, assuming that the letter is true, you know?
Well, here's...
Because she seems to basically describe him as being, like, the perfect guy, aside from that.
Well, the one thing... and the one thing
certainly
that's...
Certainly is considerate.
Yeah,
unlike all the other black men she's dated.
Right, because can we talk about the shot at black men that comes right in the middle of the letter? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like... He is everything that black every man. Other black man I've ever dated been. Is not.
Unlike all the black men I dated.
First of all, she says we have the picture perfect fantasy life. And you're like, well, that's where the problem begins. Because as my brother Aaron just said, oh, you have been bought. Because
exactly.
She's talking about not having a lifestyle
that she can sustain.
That
on
she
her
can
own.
Sustain. Because basically he's like, nigger bitch, come and I will take care of you. And she's like, I don't have to work and you can take me around the world and shop. So the fact that this is, that she's shocked at his behavior, her behavior has probably instigated or certainly been a catalyst for or said to him, it's okay.
Yeah, I have to give a shout out to Lincoln Blades. This is Your Conscious. I saw the article he posted in his response. And he noticed the first thing I noticed when I read that paragraph where she's describing him and she throws in there basically that, you know, unlike all of the black men I've dated and he's all these things. I've read that paragraph a few times before I continue because just I want to make sure, like, is she really? I'm like, I saw that.
Yeah.
You know, if you were just like, if you leave like black out and you're just like a lot of the men I've dated, and if I have to assume that maybe she's talking black, at least I don't have any like, okay, well, maybe I'm just thinking about it. But the fact that she said all of that, you're like,
well, I think that what she's also kind of implying is she almost kind of got into this relationship not really expecting to. Like, she probably expected that she was going to marry a black guy and then went through, you know, she was expecting that she was going to marry a black guy and she went through X, Y, and Z. And then, here's a successful white dude or something.
I don't think she's ever wanted to marry a black guy. I was going to say, back to the point of, and I haven't made when I read things, it never occurs to me to go, is this real or not? Maybe I should add that to my canon of thought. But in this discussion, from beginning to end, I mean, she literally is his slave. Like, I mean, she's taking care of him and everything. So if that's the case, if the letter does very clearly caricaturize her as a slave and this interracial relationship as a slave relationship, then you could make the argument that someone could have made this up as an argument against interracial relationships. So yeah, that's all.
That's a lot of work just to get an article. Yeah.
You never.
But what's interesting is she had the high expectations because it was a white guy. You know.
Well, I don't know if she had the high expectations, if we were assuming that the article is real. Yeah. It did strike me sort of that, assuming that the article is real, this sounded like a person who just dated within her race and then like Johan said, just sort of found herself in an interracial relationship. And wow, this is great, except that he treats me like literally sex slave. And
but
so,
here's my thing. Did they not have sex in the 6 months prior to getting married? And if so, was he just able to hold back those racial slurs? And now that he has purchased
or maybe
her,
he's just a-
they are just flying out of his mouth. Like, I have
Sheba,
questions.
What do you think? What does Sheba think?
What? I wasn't ready to talk. I was doing two things right
I'm
here.
I'm just saying.
You gotta give her a minute to channel Sheba. Tori's gotta go into the Sheba state.
Sheba was never called a nigger bitch.
I think that's...
No, never.
You saw Sheba didn't even leave the room. Sheba didn't even leave the
room.
That's
true. That's true.
Yeah, it made the article sound like it. Yeah. He just, once we got married, I'm just, you know, basically, it sounded like he held it back. And it was like, okay, now that we married... You know, now I can let everything out.
Yeah, it's either that or somehow she just kind of ignored it beforehand and it got worse later or something.
But I mean,
who knows? You can't know about that.
Something's not right about her, because women, we're a little extra sensitive anyway. So if a guy tells us something like, oh, your hair looks different, we're like super hyper conscious of it. And this dude is straight out calling her nigger bitch and she's wondering about this and he's like, your Negro bush.
I just think he took and this is I'm not married, but from what I've heard from comedians, I feel like he just took what some husbands do, and he just took it like some husbands, they just like, you know, I'm just gonna let myself go, you know, I'm just gonna start eating. And he was like, I'm just gonna do the nigger bitch thing. Like, I think like that was his like equivalent after he got comfortable in the marriage. It was like, I'm gonna stay working, I'm gonna do everything else, but that's gonna be my
thing. Could it really be that? And he's just really getting freaky with her like that. You know how some men want to call you like whore, like come in whore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's
a sexual slut treatment that happens.
Well, that happens very often with a lot of relationships.
But then the brace goes.
And so it's just in this inner
nigger bitch.
Right. It's just this is an interracial relationship, so there's a level. Obviously, there's a huge element of racial sensitivity that's not there, but the instinct is in, you know. Plenty of guys and plenty of couples.
Well,
I mean, I hate to say it, but look, I mean, just say I don't want to expand the topic range, but it's in a lot of music now.
But here's a question. In this particular scenario, should she leave him?
Okay, this is the most important point. If he really loves her, because like the author said in response, what consenting adults do in the privacy of their home, no matter how weird it is, that's up to them. So I don't, you know, I can judge any of that. But she obviously doesn't like it. So if he loves her, he would stop.
I mean,
and if she really is just a fetish for him, then he won't, and she needs to leave. That's my relationship advice to the ladies.
I think for me, what's probably the saddest part about this is the fact that she doesn't have the strength or the capacity to be like, pump the brakes. This is inappropriate. I'm your wife. And I'm a woman of African descent. I'm a black, like the history alone that comes with that word. Saying that in our relationship, that I feel like he's betrayed whatever trust you make when you marry someone from a different culture. That's particularly a culture that's come from an oppressive condition in the United States. So for her husband to, it's almost like. I wonder if he thought in his mind, let me see if I can get away with it and see what she thinks. Because she should have put a stop to this. He's obviously been doing this multiple times.
Right.
So she should have put a stop to it. It should have been like, oh, push out, pull out, hold up. You got to. I mean, there shouldn't have been. The intercourse should have stopped. And there should have been a serious discussion at that point. So you didn't even have to get. The fact that she's writing this letter, if this is a real letter, although maybe I'm just naive. I'm like, God, this is a lot of work to be creating. But, you know, people do that. But
the believability about her intelligence that you're pointing out to, you know, like I don't know a black woman who, if I called her bitch in bed and she wasn't happy with it, wouldn't tell me.
I just can't. I can't even imagine. But let me.
And Jamaican at that.
But that's a very clear point.
We'll get cut.
But I mean, this is another podcast. But having been on the Ivy League campus, there is something interesting and different about the Ivy League black woman. That I can wrap my head around it, but now granted, I don't want to be a generalist like this particular woman is being about all black men, but having had an experience in an Ivy League setting, I find that those women are a unique breed of individual.
In what way?
And I just felt like there was no swagger to the sisters, which, no, yeah, Condoleezza wouldn't do it.
Exactly.
Right. for me, the issue is like Swagger and just I don't want to generalize, but for me, the women that I met, I feel like there was a little bit of an uptightness, and that this is not all of them, but a lot of them, there was a little uptightness or like, I mean, remember like black people who go to Ivy League schools, a lot of them come from like their own old money, a black legacy, and family members have been senators.
Yeah, see, us regular black folks forget that there are black families like that.
Yeah, I mean, so
I just watched that Tyler Perry Wesley Deeds movie.
What was it called?
You know, Good Deeds.
Oh, right. But I mean, that dynamic in itself is a whole other podcast. So it's interesting because coming from a public school experience in undergrad, where you know Aria knows somebody said something crazy about us in the newspaper, we shut the damn school down. The black people shut the school down. We went on a serious like, no. What you won't do is disrespect us in the school paper when there's only less than 3.5% of us here. No. That's what you see, Berkeley. Go Bears. I still love my school, but when you out of line, you out of line. I got to let you know. And so, It's interesting coming from that experience where people are, you know, and obviously there are two very polar opposite experiences, an Ivy League experience versus going to Berkeley. But I just get the sense that there's some issues within her, self-esteem wise, that need to really, really be addressed. Because regardless of the, let's take the nigger out of it, being called the female dog, like I don't know many women who that's cool. Particularly if you're on so-called Ivy League status, right? So maybe that's a stereotype that if you're Ivy League, you don't have a desire to being tolerated, being called a bitch. But I don't know. I'm concerned about her. And what's interesting is the woman who wrote the response, Abiola? Abiola. The first thing Abiola basically gets into is like, oh, she says, so you're worried about maintaining your lifestyle? ! Sis, let's talk about maintaining your sense of self.
Right.
And that's like, you got to start from there just on GP, that beyond the racial slurs or the derogatory name for women, do you really want the man that is supposed to be your confidant like dogging you basically twice over? Because he's giving you a racial slur and he's giving you a derogatory woman. So like, I feel like that's who he is and that's in him. And, you know, and I'm going to say it, you got what you paid for. Yeah. Or no, he got what he paid for. Ah!
But clearly it's an issue of sense of self, because she says from the very beginning, you know, comparing him to all the black men she dated, none were generous, none were considerate. Like, how did you accept that?
Right.
How did you put yourself in a position to accept every single black man that you gave your time to? Wasn't generous,
how many black men has she been with for real? You know what I'm saying? Are you talking about you've had two boyfriends in your life?
One bad, maybe two bad black men, but if you don't learn after that, that's on you. That's not on them. And you know, that comes from a place where sometimes I'm like, screw them. But good sense. You know better. So I can't believe that you just constantly get dogged out by black men and that none of them were ever like, what black men did you ever look up to? Like, outside of the relationship you screwing, what about relationships you have with black men? None of them have ever set an example for you on what the man you lay next to should be like if he's going to be black.
Right.
I want to get into this question, maybe after Aaron, but this question of lifestyle and what that means, at least to women. Because for guys, we know the idea of providing, but we don't, and we think of lifestyle, I think, overall. But if you're saying that you don't want to leave or you're afraid of leaving because of a particular lifestyle, like, that to me says a whole lot about the value system that she has.
Right.
Because if
she
you're saying,
for money, it was materialistic.
Right.
If you're saying, because I think that part of the subtlety here is that if you're saying that no black men have been generous and nice to you, then are you equating that with how they spoiled you?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around this other value system that goes into finding compassion or companionship along with how am I living? and how is this person letting me live? You know what I mean? So like, I just don't.
I love that she called her a BAP, though.
Right. And I do want to respond, because when I think about lifestyle, and Tori, you can tell me whether or not you agree with me. When I think about lifestyle, I really think of it in terms of how much a woman has to work in regard. Because if they're thinking of the man being the breadwinner, when a woman talks about she's gotten accustomed to a certain lifestyle, usually that means a lifestyle where she doesn't have to provide for herself or her family. And so that's the difference. In lifestyle, are you a woman who works full time and overtime? Are you a woman who works part time? Are you a woman who works 25% of the time, or you don't work at all?
Right.
You know, and if you work, are you choosing to work because you want to and don't have to?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like those are, I guess, options a lot of women have.
Right. When you say lifestyle, clearly reads like someone who doesn't work at all, so she wouldn't be able to maintain the life she's gotten accustomed to.
Right.
You know, because the lifestyle, she's not saying I can't go back to like living in a one bedroom apartment and struggling.
Right.
It's the lifestyle.
Right.
You know, so clearly this is somebody who's been...
She's comfortable.
She's
now
been taken
too.
Care of.
Mm-hmm.
She's being... But she says it when, you know, he whines... Our relationship, we have like a picture-perfect fantasy life.
And
he whines and dines means we travel and shop. So that's the lifestyle she could not maintain.
And can we talk about that? Can we talk about this... Can we talk about though this picture perfect fantasy life? This is what women and men have been sold through media for like ever. The idea of, you know, man, woman, and we're gonna have this perfect love, and we're gonna wine,
travel,
dine, and travel, shop. That's our lifestyle. We don't struggle. It's just beautiful, wonderful shit every day. And it, for her, it's coming with the price tag of being called a nigger bitch,
or that you got Negro bush.
Right. What kind of fantasy?
What kind of lifestyle? You should be waxing if you got that lifestyle. I'm just saying.
I was gonna say, and I thought Malcolm was gonna go here. Is that she even brings up? You know, this is someone I'm considering having children with. And so, let's say you have, I don't know, a daughter. If he's calling you a nigger bitch in bed, that says something about how he perceives black women. How is he perceiving the daughter you're gonna have?
Right.
Then it's like, if you decide to stay with him, I'm sorry. If he's calling you a nigger bitch in bed, that nigger bitch shit is gonna eventually leave the bedroom. You're gonna see some disrespect in the future.
Yeah.
So then, what message are you sending to either the kid, whether it's a male or female, about the about lifestyle, relationship? Yeah. You know what the trade offs are. So, you know,
I could easily see this character of this person having a daughter and being, you know, calling her like a havesy, or calling her a whatever,
right.
Like a Dalmatian.
Right.
Like, and totally thinking that, oh, it's funny. It's cute. It's not funny.
He's got the get a pass thing, right? Like, he's got the, like, in Bamboozled, Michael Rapaport's character when he's like, I think it's my right. I got a black wife. You know what I mean? That whole thing. So that automatically lets you know what his ideology is about race and about cultural sensitivity and that. Just the fact that he thinks he gets a pass, to me, speaks volumes about where he's coming from and what values are going to be projected.
I'm so over the idea of this even being.
Well, the thing is,
this was in the recent Essence.
It's really hard to
a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was this month.
Yeah, so
I
think it's a general. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Will.
No, I was just going to say the whole thing. It's pretty crazy. Look, I really don't judge what other people do. I really don't care. But my only problem with, I mean, I agree, it's creepy. Yeah, obviously. But my only real problem with it is just that if you don't like it, you know, you can't accept it. You can't tolerate it. Now, if she had like,
tolerating.
Like, yeah, if she had like a kinky, infatuation with that kind of thing,
call
fine.
Me nigger bitch.
Exactly.
Call me nigger bitch.
So, you know.
Honestly, but, to be real, I kind of think that she
likes it.
That's exactly the type of thing that I can't comment on. Just as a matter of principle, for anybody listening, if your husband or your wife, whatever you don't like, if they insist on doing it, you have to stand up for yourself. Just because you're married to a person doesn't mean they have a right to treat you whatever way they want to treat you. But it is true, if you rely on somebody else for your livelihood, there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't let that person, basically take away your integrity as an individual. It's the price of that. That's not love.
Or at least read your contract before you have your first.
Or that.
read the contract, please.
Yeah, I think we're kind of all on the same page with her. I mean, we have another question here of do we feel bad for her? And it's on one hand, it's like, just your level of consciousness, sister. Like, go pick up a book or something.
Particularly coming from
an Ivy League. Like, do you not know your history? But on the but at the same time, her being willing to kind of exchange what I feel would be a huge part of integrity in a relationship for money and luxuries.
So even if it weren't someone calling her a nigger bitch, they'd be calling her something else. Because basically, she's down got herself on the line for a price.
She's on the market.
For wining, dining, shopping, and traveling. Yeah. You can call me whatever.
She's
you
on the market.
I mean? I don't like it, but you can call me that.
I only feel bad for her in the sense that she's naive. Yeah. That's the only reason I feel bad. Because it's like, you needed to pay attention. If he's coming from old money, you should have your black radar on trying to feel out his family and like how they like they can't hide the emotion and the feel in their eyes when they're looking at you. You know when you're in a spot and it's all white people and you have that uncomfortable vibe like
the
I don't know.
Engagement party, you know somebody was saying damn nigga.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, if I'm taking it to the extreme, but for this kind of behavior and with him coming from old money, which means status definitely matters, right. Who you partner with matters. For all we know, he got a wife somewhere. Yeah. you the field wife. You know what I'm saying? If y'all just met, has 6 months, and he's like, yeah, I can boo you up and you can be my little nigger bitch. Like, and I can be away from, I have the luxury and the money to be away from my family for a year on business. And let's see, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the situation would play out. I mean, granted, I took it there, but it could be.
It could be real. to the question of like, you know, do we feel I empathize in that what it seems to be is that whether white or black, she's not satisfied in relationships.
Right.
That's the when I read this, I mean, because when she was with black dudes, someone working, and clearly she's with a white guy, and something's not working.
Right, and with black dudes, she Halle Berry.
So like my mom. So yeah, good point. So like my mom told me, if every time there's an issue with different, it's probably you. And so this is deeper than just it is. She definitely has some sociological issues with culture and race, but she also has issues with relationships too. And so if I were to give her advice, I would say, yeah, there's some cultural shit, but there's also some like relationships, soul searching shit that you need to.
Because she settled for someone not being generous, people not being loyal, people not being committed, people being inconsiderate. You've accepted all of that. And then she's like, and I accept people calling me nigger bitches.
Right.
And that I have a nigger bush. Like that right there in itself would be like, what? But then again, wax.
The biggest telltale sign to me that is her is when she says, don't tell me to leave him. Like basically saying, like, that's non-negotiable.
That's not an option. I have to stay here.
That means that you are either in denial or you're...
For sale.
You're for sale.
Yeah.
And
she's weak sauce.
And the way that I feel sorry for her is that she is delusional to some extent, or that she probably... Her reality is such that she's like, don't tell me not to do this. I just don't want to accept that. But that's probably what it is.
But
and
there are sisters that exist like this.
If you can't accept the worst case scenario, then there's a problem with you, period.
Right.
Tori just said it. There are sisters like this, and at the end of the day, she's not the only one. Sorry. There are many people who are tolerating this, and there's people tolerating it from the other end. You know, so
folks just trying to get out from
I'm sure there may be a Caucasian woman who is with her mandingo right now
and calling him her nigga.
I'm gonna, you know, I'm sure these all exist. So my question.
Toria took it there, but Toria, your point is well taken. Yeah,
it's the truth. Because it's not. I wouldn't even put this on black women. I would put this on women. Period. There are some women in situations that are tolerating nonsense like this.
Yeah.
So best believe there is some white woman somewhere allowing her mandingo man to call her a white cunt. Mm-hmm. You know, or the black woman who's allowing him to call her nigger bitch. Like it's unacceptable. Like, you can't just treat me that way. Be black, white, purple, green, whatever. And
right.
I'm done.
Now, people use a lot of people, men but women too, use sex as a means of psychological control.
And right.
There are many different ways in which that happens. So it's really, this is just one particular manifestation of a problem that exists in somewhere in every different culture and community, I think. Certainly in America. Right. So,
and I guess everybody has their own threshold.
Yeah. Well, anybody have anything to say in summation? Well, on that note, be sure to check us out at www.blackisonline.com or call the hotline at 323-455-4219. Shout out to Brother Malcolm, who is off to the UK in a few weeks. Culture Connection. Hashtag Culture Connection UK. All right. Peace.